The 5 million inhabitants of Colombo, the capital of Sri Lanka, now experience extreme climate events with increasing frequency and unprecedented force. Weather patterns there have changed significantly since the 1950s. Monsoon rains are now shorter but more intense, which leads to flash floods and the inundation of neighborhoods that house the poor. In 2016, Sri Lanka endured its worst drought in 40 years. The next year saw record precipitation, 11 to 20 inches of rain in just 24 hours, causing massive flooding that destroyed a large part of the rice crop. The paddies produced nearly 40% less rice than in the previous year, leaving hundreds of thousands of people without food security. It happens all the time now in poor countries. In the spring of 2019, two cyclones hit the eastern coast of Africa, one after the other, causing heavy damage in Mozambique. Cyclone Idai extensively damaged the country's farms, destroying most of the corn crop on the coastal plain. It was a humanitarian crisis that compelled the country to appeal to United Nations aid agencies for help. In previous chapters, we considered the exploitation hubs that globalization has created. But an exploitation hub is not just a matter of employment, or the extraction of local minerals in a way that harms the people and community near it. The ultimate exploitation is environmental. Pollution, unbridled consumerism, and the massive carbon emissions spawned by the Industrial Revolution affect the weak more than the strong. And that is not just a figure of speech. Studies have analyzed the glaring inequality of the climate crisis and have produced similar conclusions. The bill is not being paid by the wealthy nations. A recent study by two Stanford University researchers, Marshall Burke and Noah Diffenbaugh, shows that poor nations have been paying for global warming for decades. Using a model that compared how countries performed in warmer and cooler years, they found that between 1961 and 2010, global warming depressed the wealth per person in the poorest nations by up to 40%. Furthermore, the GDP per capita of countries that emitted the most greenhouse gases increased by 13%. These figures are astonishing. They show that the global South, which had begun to close the gap with the industrialized world, could have made incredibly rapid progress were it not for the climate crisis. As Burke and Diffenbaugh show, cold climate countries are getting warmer and are benefiting economically from the greenhouse effect. But countries that were hot to begin with and have been warming even more have been hit hard.